Where were we?
Well, we were talking about Wendy, and now would you like to tell us a little bit more about Jimmy?
Jimmy is married to Louise Fisher, whose father and son you probably have heard of, Dr. Bernard Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
And he has two children, Allie, who's 10, and Jesse, who is 8.
And he lives, of course, in Pittsburgh.
They live in overall of Indiana, mm-hmm. 5 years.
And does his wife, is she a stay-at-home mom?
Yeah. She is.
And Billy?
Billy has 7 children.
And he's married to?
He's married to Linda Fidel. Did you interview Arthur? Her father? Because you concentrated, it seems, on a number of past presidents of the Federation.
There were so many interviewers. I personally did not.
But somebody did Alan Rogal. Do you know Alan?
Mm-hmm. I don't know him.
Good. Okay. Who are we talking about? Billy?
Billy's children.
Max? Now, Max is 13. Nell is 11. Julius is 9. Leah is 7. Sarah is 5.
This is terrific. You would remember all of this.
Haya, C-H-A-Y-A.
I'm sorry,
C-H-A-Y-A. Is 3, and Menachem, M-E, you know what's called Menachem? M-E-N-E, Menachem, I forget that.
C-H-E-N.
Is 1. So I just figured how he is, within, every 2 years.
And well, Billy's wife is expecting another? You said you were expecting
another? Yeah, you are, they're pissed.
I'm sorry?
We don't talk about that. Except that, that's their cousin. So I respect that if somebody says she's pregnant, you say, yes, she's pregnant. But you don't deny it. You don't count. You don't count how many, and you don't count. I never knew that before. I've learned a lot, since Billy and his wife became a college.
Do you know, that certainly is of interest. Would you be willing to share that with us as to how they became Lubavitch and actually how you feel about them?
They were very active in the community, both of them. Billy was the youngest member of the board of Westmoreland Country Club. He was an outstanding golfer. He was a very good golfer. And they were very involved in the community. Start to think that what's the direction, where am I going? And then it came time for Max to go to school. And they knew they didn't want to put him in a public school. And they didn't like the climate of the shady side particularly. But the people were only interested in clothes and vacations and nothing really basic. So they visited the yeshiva and Gilel and Unity School and Shady Side. They saw it this year. The people were very warm, very friendly, and very receptive to them. So they decided to go to Shady Side, to a yeshiva, rather. And the more they went, the more involved they became, to the point where Billy has been president of the yeshiva now for the past few years. And the kids are all very disciplined and observant. Remarkable. Little ones. They're very careful what they eat when they're out. They make sure that it's kosher. It's interesting.
So your daughter-in-law didn't come from the observatory?
Totally not observant. She was worse than Billy. Billy was at least bar mitzvah. But he didn't have really practice religion at all. Speak, but they sure do now.
And you've come to accept it?
I've always accepted it, and I approve of that. I think it's a beautiful thing. I just hope that they don't abandon their outside interests, you know, their involvement in outside activities, which Billy is not. I mean, Billy just came up. He's still, the next year, the chairman of the Federation campaign. So he's very much in the community. I very well respected. They had the biggest increase they've had in 10, the first increase they had in 10 years this year. And that's because he worked on it. He worked very hard.
So he's able to merge both communities?
He's done well with it. Yeah. He's on the Family House board. And, you know, he's able to do it. He's the kind of guy that's well thought, well respected. You know. He's low key. He's good. But as far as accepting and approving, yeah, certainly. I think that some of the rituals are extreme, you know, and not particularly necessary, but they're harmless. You know. But the thing is that it's a beautiful sight to see in your home. It's such a nice get-together. And the only thing is, I say, I hope I'm around to see some of them, but there will be not, of course. But I'd like to see them go on to higher education after they leave, after they graduate the yeshiva. And unfortunately, most of them do not.
Is that right?
They'll go into another yeshiva. Some of the girls, if they're real good students, are going to Australia for a year.
In Australia?
To a yeshiva, halls. A very big, published, very big, published activity in Australia.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. And the girls go there for a year. And like, my wife's sister, she is a Lubavitch daughter, and her oldest daughter graduated last year. She went to Australia for a year, came back, studied more in Australia, and came back, and now she's in New York. And they're looking for a husband for her, you know, they're willing to get married early and have a lot of kids. It's good, because they'll be the reason for the continuity of Judaism. Actually, they populate the world. Yeah. They all have a lot of kids. They all have a lot of children. They're thinking, whatever God will give you, that's the philosophy. But I just am concerned about them going on to four-year college, getting that education first, then decide what you want to do. You know, to get a little taste of the outside world, see what's going on, because they don't have it at this point. Although the oldest one, Max, is my boy, but he knows a lot more than that, but thinks he does. And he loves sports, he loves to follow them, he doesn't get to play them himself, he's in school all the time. He was going at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he doesn't get home at 4:30. But he follows in the paper, he follows the Pirates and the hockey team. And he's very interested in it, which I'm glad he is. And it's good to see him. It's pretty cool. And he's got the ability to do something, you know. And I'm hopeful that he will. He just wants to come back to the yeshiva and be a teacher. And he calls himself a rabbi, which is fine. He's a teacher. Which a rabbi is in. So I just hope that he'll get the education. I don't like to see them. You made a decision what you want to do.
Are they aware of anything?
Oh, yeah, Billy and I discussed it. But that's a beautiful lifestyle. You've got to discipline yourself. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But they do it.
Now, I, just to regress a little bit, and maybe you can build on that, I have a daughter starting to become Orthodox. And
tremendous trend towards that.
But it becomes a little difficult when she comes home.
Yeah.
Because our lifestyles are so different. I'm wondering how you handle it, because you see that on a more regular, you know, on a daily basis almost.
Well, we have kids come over to our house. We still live in the same house in Lyndhurst, and they come over to go swimming. And my wife always has something, you know, some dessert or ice cream or kosher, of course, for them. And they, we have We have a grill on the back, and we've kept it kosher. We haven't put any non-kosher meat on it at this point. So that they can come over and we can at least cook out, you know, and have a family. So we do that. So and paper plates. We always have paper plates. And my wife buys mostly kosher meat anyhow. She likes it better. So it's not a big problem.
So there's no division? I mean, in some families there are.
Oh, yes. I know so. Absolutely. Now you go out of your way a little bit. You go out of your way for a lot of things for your kids. You do it, that's what they want. They're not hurting anybody. They've done some good.
And Jimmy and Wendy are fine with this.
No, they're not anywhere in that category. They're much more religious Jewish than they were before. Wendy's kids are all being raised Jewish. He's married to a non-Jew, but the kids are all being raised Jewish. They went to Jewish nursery schools, you know, preschool. And Wendy was bus mitzvah 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 40, there were a group of women that studied, about 25 women from ages up to 60, you know, that studied for about a year and a half, and then they had a big ceremony.
Is she
a conservative
congregation?
Yes. And Jimmy is very supportive. And it was just nice. And very supportive of what Billy does. In fact, he's very friendly with a number of the people at UCLA. And he supports them. Financially and otherwise. So it's nice. And Billy's fortunate that he has a brother who is that understanding because they're in business together. And it's important.
Let's regress a little bit.
Okay.
Let's go back to your siblings then. You can tell us a little bit about your siblings and the order and their names.
I had two sisters. I have two sisters, and I had one brother who passed away about almost 4 years ago. And we were a very close family. And I still am with my sisters. I live in Palm Beach.
I'm sorry, Palm Beach?
Pardon me?
Palm Beach?
Yes. Yeah, they both live in Florida. And there was only 5 years separated, my brother and I. Two girls in between, so we have, I now had four kids.
You're the baby?
I'm the baby. And, of course, they were all married. And had children. I know their birthdays, too, so.
You can share it.
That's not. And the two girls, both their husbands are both still living. And, living a retired life. Pardon me?
Your brother was the oldest.
My brother was the
oldest. And his name was?
Sydney.
And what did Sydney do as a
group? He was in the real estate business in Florida. He and I were partners when we were in the retail business in Pittsburgh. And he moved to Florida back in 57. And got in the real estate business there. And then we got the franchise for Wendy's. I was able to get Wendy's franchise for Florida. He and his son got involved in the operating when we sold it about 12 years ago. So he was basically in the same way at that time.
And the second oldest, your sister, her name is?
Florence Alperin is her name.
And was she in Pittsburgh?
She had been up until maybe 15 years ago. We were all in Pittsburgh. My other sister is Leora, L-E-O-R-A. And she and her husband, I don't know if you might remember, Trevi's shop on Long Street, they opened that. And they were there for about 10 years, I guess, and they sold that, and they retired the farm. Leora Stern, I didn't get your last name. And they're both in. As a matter of fact, she's got a daughter living in London. And she's I got there last night. She's going today. I go for it. So that's my immediate thing.
And it sounds like you were and still are very close.
I'm very close. I'll speak to them. Ellen in Florida, I see them once a week or so, say 2 weeks or so. We're not too far from the other. But here I speak to them a couple of times a week. Very close.
So your parents lived in Pittsburgh until they retired or passed out?
Yeah,
and they had all their children?
My father died very young. And all the kids. Born here except me.
Would you ever turn 40?
1940.
Was he ill?
Yeah, he had the abdominal problems. Had a lot of operations in a short period of time. And we thought he was recovering. It started in 1934. He died in 1940. Died of postoperative pneumonia, actually. It's a direct result. And in this day and age, I'm sure it wouldn't happen. 1940s,
mm-hmm. And so your mother raised you?
Well, we were all raised. I was 22 when my father died, and the other was older. So we were all raised and out of working. We were all depression babies. And my mother, of course, died in 1958. She had a stroke, and everything really came out. And she was about, my father was only 56 when he passed away. My mother was about 64.
She's very young.
Yeah, very young, yeah. Lost them both at a young age. And I was very close.
Mr. Rudolph, could you describe your home life in terms of customs that may have gone on, vacation? This was when you were growing up in your parents' home.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, we were brought up in a kosher home. My mother kept kosher, and my grandmother lived with us. Her mother lived with us. And we were not a religious family, because my father's business required him to work 7 days a week. So he worked on the Sabbath day. But we were a very close family. And we had dinners together all the time. My father was pretty much a disciplinarian. He kept us in line pretty well. Nobody left the dinner table without saying, "Thank you for dinner." We were only allowed one movie a week. We were lucky. We used to get 10 cents to go to the Manor Theater. But we had a very good family. You know, four kids were close together. You could fight with one another pretty good. And it was, but we remained very close all through the years.
You said your maternal grandmother lived with you.
Yes.
Your mom kept the kosher home. Were your grandparents more traditional?
Never knew. That's the only grandparent I knew. My father's parents never left Russia. And my mother's father died at a very young age. I think I remember correctly. It was like right after the turn of the century. So it was. That's why I said my mother and her mother, I ran this store in Montreux. I talked about her earlier. So I really never knew. I just knew my one grandmother, who I was very close to.
And as you were growing up, she was there?
Yeah, up until the time I was born.
When you lived in Pittsburgh, was the family home? Where in Pittsburgh was it?
We lived on Malvern. We lived in the later years, we lived on Nicholson Street first, and then we moved over.
Did you attend synagogue in any kind of
regular
basis?
Oh, yeah, my father, as a matter of fact. My father was one of the signers of the charter that saw in the synagogue.
Is that right?
When they got their charter. I have a copy of the charter here. And he remained active in the shul. He went to New York. He used to go to New York and buying books for men's clothing all the time. And he found Rabbi Rose, who was the first rabbi of the shul. And my brother and I went to Hebrew school there. And we were bar mitzvah there. And of course, depression came along from the start of that. This thing sort of fell apart. But he was active. He was president of the men's club. He was active in the shul. We observed 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And I remember my mother told me just to walk the shul from Auburn to Deep and Shady. And I went to Hebrew school after school. 6 days. And we were both bar mitzvah there. In fact, my brother, they had a big bar mitzvah for him. But he was, when I was 8 and he was 13, August, his birthday was November, so we had our tonsils and the doctor slipped on me and lost quite a bit. So they were so grateful for the one that he was bar mitzvah right after that. My father brought this famous canner, Rosenblatt, in from New York. And I remember the whole city, the whole Jewish population, lined up outside the Beis Shul to hear him. It was like a Polish weekend. But we had a good Jewish life.
Did your mother light candles on Shabbat?
Oh, yes. Like your holly, your friend.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So you had regular dinners at home?
Yeah. We had dinners at home every night. In those days, there were no restaurants that you went to. You had dinner at home all the time.
You had mentioned the depression and how things had changed. How did it affect your family?
Well, unfortunately, it affected my father and his family. This is almost 100%. So all the kids went to work. We all worked, contributed.
Like after school?
No, this was after everybody was out of school, except me. And I got out when I was out of high school, 35, and I went to work. And my sisters worked. They both worked at college. They both did well. And my sister, one of them was buyer men's ties, the other was buyer women's ties. We worked the way up. And, we all worked.
And you helped support your
parents. Mm-hmm.
And
we were just youngsters, We were young. But there's no problem.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of other things to ask you. I wanted to ask you, you said your brother and you went to Hebrew school. Did women not go? Did girls not go to Hebrew school at that time?
No, I don't remember them going. It's a good question. Never thought about it. I don't remember them.
you had said that your father was more of a disciplinarian.
Yeah, he was.
And words, and I want you to expound on them if you can.
And as I said to you before, we were only allowed certain things at certain times. When we talked about our dinners, we always to the dinner. And he was strict, but he was good. He worked 7 days a week, so we didn't see him much except at any time. But he was, of course, always out for dinner. As I say, in those days, you didn't go out to dinner like we do today. No restaurants. There was one restaurant downtown, I remember, near his place of business. And once in a while, I'd get a big treat. That was a big treat. But that was it.
Did you not go out because there weren't kosher restaurants, or just restaurants in general?
But in general, yeah. Not, those persons or not?
There were some, but...
For holidays, for Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or whatever.
Pesach, we had big sightings.
That was my question. So, were your parents, there was an extended family of aunts, uncles?
No, not really. Mm-mm. My father had a sister that he would see and then he helped support. We had a little family. We had some family. But nobody real close.
So for holidays, were outsiders then, other than your immediate family, did you share holidays with other people?
No, not really. Not really. Mostly just family functions.
Mr. Rudolph, could we start maybe with your education? How are we doing here?
We've got six more. A little less than 6 minutes.
We'll come back to education. How do you compare Pittsburgh today to what it was then, when you were growing up?
As the city itself?
As the people, the city, anything that you would like to define the differences?
Well, first of all, the one thing I define the difference is the population difference, which hurts. You know, I remember when Pittsburgh was like the seventh largest city in the country. And as a proud Pittsburgher, I hated to see the decline. But it's in many aspects it's better, and it's better as far as the smoke in the air that we learned to live with. I remember as a kid, some mornings we couldn't go to school because it was too foggy. You actually could not see, you know, in front of you. Couldn't see. So something like that is better, but the industry-wise, we're just starting to recover. We were the 28th largest. We had 28 large corporate headquarters in Pittsburgh. We were the third largest in the country, and we lost so many of them. We lost Rockwell, we lost Gulf Oil, we lost a number of them. So there's just a tremendous difference in the city.
Well, do you think the software in the medical center will make up for it eventually?
Yeah, but I think that the university is becoming a dictatorship, practically. So they're grabbing it too much. The relationship between some of the doctors and the university was not the greatest. And they left Presby to go to Shadyside. Now I'm not going to be back working at the university again. You know, it's a sad state of affairs. But as a medical center, we've come a long way. And I think that's good. and in the software and computer field, we're doing a lot better. And I think some of the stuff that's going on down the south side will be helpful to me. I'd like to see them build another stadium.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we become... Of course, I'm a baseball nut anyhow, so... Can't go by what I say, but I think if we become a minor league city, we lose the baseball team.
Do you think there are enough people here to support it?
Oh sure. You don't build as big a stadium. You know, you don't build 60,000 seat stadium.
No, they want to build Forbes Field again.
Which is what they should have. It's what they should have. 35,000, 38,000. That's all I need. They can survive very nicely with it. But this question of it will survive or not. There's a lot of opposition. Where do you get the money from? It's a good question. But the other cities have found the answer to it, so we should be able to.
They actually say the cities, I think Baltimore, Cleveland, they are filling the stadiums.
Oh, sure. Cleveland, they're sold out for the rest of the year. Before the season started, they were sold out.
Okay, about a minute.
Mr. Rudolph, I'd like to really thank you for this hour to make another appointment to come back
and
see you
today.
Again. We're through today.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? There's a little bit of tape left.
I don't know particularly. I don't know what field you want to talk about.
And we can start the next time.
When we come back, we'll probably get into your education.
That won't take long.
And then again, a little more about Pittsburgh and how you raised your children, and you know, just basically, and then we'll get into your organization work. We know that you've been very active in the community, and we'd like to touch on that.
Yeah, sure.
So, why don't we set an appointment? Oh, the other thing I would like to ask, if you have a resume, so the next time we meet?
Yeah, the Federation has one somewhere, and I forget.